Lord, I pray as you regularly work in our life that we will be quick to give you glory and thanks. Lord, I pray you bless this service now, and God, remind us of how we ought to pray. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. This is a story in the scriptures that every time I read it just smites my heart. Unfortunately, probably because I begin to think about in my life where God has done many a great things, and I have not at all said thank you or glorified him for that. One of the important aspects of our life as Christians is to be thankful. The scripture says it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, rejoice evermore. That's 16. Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. But then verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. And he goes on and he says, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. As Christians, we ought to always have an attitude of thankfulness. We can express this in multiple ways. We see it in the passage. Sometimes we can do it by word. Sometimes we can do it by action. We see the one that was healed there. If we go back through this passage, it says that he went through a land of Samaria and Galilee, and then he comes across these 10 lepers. And if you know leprosy, leprosy was a terminal illness. You were not healed from it. If you had leprosy, it would be the death of you. There were leper colonies, and they would try and hold it off as long as they could, but it was contagious, and once you had leprosy, you would be almost excommunicated from the temple, from your family, from everybody, because you were what they would consider unclean. And as these see Jesus, they lift up their voice and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. I don't know why they would call for mercy. Mercy is not getting something they deserve. Maybe in their life, as they looked at it, they thought that they should have received leprosy. Whatever the case was, they're asking for mercy. Jesus, to fulfill the law, because the law states that if you were at all concerned about leprosy, what you're supposed to do is show yourself to the priest. And you can read all about that in Leviticus. It's actually kind of gross if you read it, Opal. It's like the sores are different colors, and it's just nasty. For sake of not making our stomachs turn, we're not going to go there. And really, this isn't a lesson on leprosy, more so on Thanksgiving. Leprosy was one of those debilitating diseases, though, that parts of your body would rot and decay and fall off. I think it's interesting that as they're walking, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, see, leprosy wasn't necessarily a feeling on the inside, but it would be very obvious. All of a sudden, where there was no finger, there is now a finger. To be healed of leprosy was quite significant. There was a white color that would go about it, but not just the whiteness, but maybe very common parts of bodies would just fall off. So you can imagine a group of people that were walking being healed of leprosy. It would be very evident that they were healed. Why? Because all of a sudden digits that were gone are all of a sudden replaced. It would be easily seen. And the Bible says this, one of them, how many were there, Nathaniel? 10. That means if I do the math, I know it's been a while since we've been in school, but that's 10%. 10%. 10% of God's miracles and workings in our life maybe gets thanks. Only 10% of when God does something amazing in our life do those voice back to God and let others know that God did something amazing. Only 10% said thank you. He didn't just say thank you. He dropped to his face. He humbled himself. He worshiped God. Jesus draws the attention to, hey, wasn't there 10 of you? Where are the 9? I wonder if the Lord came through at the end of tonight, at the end of our prayer time, and he counts us all up and he says, I did all of this for all of you and only 10% said thank you tonight. That'd be sad. Tonight we're going to be talking just briefly about being thankful in our prayer. A key component of prayer is to thank the Lord. It is our verbal communication with God, acknowledging His goodness, His grace, His mercy that we've seen in our life. And God says, it is my will that you would be thankful. It was so important to the Lord. That's why he draws attention here. But it's so important to the Lord. He says, it is the will of all mankind to be thankful. Why? Because he wants you to acknowledge what he has done in your life. Because oftentimes what we will do is recognize what we don't have rather than what we do. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16, such a powerful verse. 1 Chronicles chapter number 16 tonight. In verse number 34, it says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why should I give thanks to God?" For one reason listed here, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Thanking the Lord through prayer, number one, acknowledges God's character, who he is. God says, give thanks because I'm good. No one can argue that. No one can debate that. God is good. Mark chapter 10 and verse 18 says, God is good. I've experienced it in my own life. You've experienced it in your own life. Go to James chapter number 1. James chapter number 1 and verse 17. The Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He says, every good thing is in your life is because God had a hand in it. If you sit here tonight and you think, I just got nothing to be thankful for, can I tell you, you got a lot bigger problem than the issues that are going on in your life. If you can't acknowledge that God has been good to you, you're missing out on a lot of things. Say, my life's been hard. Hey, God is good in the midst of hard life. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. How many of you, by an uplifted hand, would say, yes, God is good? Sure. How many of you, in comparison, would say, if God is good, that makes me evil? Yes. Verse 11, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. This passage is trying to encourage us to pray here. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. If ye then, and how does it describe us? Being evil. Well, you know, let's really examine it. Yes. Know how to give good gifts to children. How much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? There's a connection between God's goodness and thankfulness and thanksgiving and prayer. I don't know what your prayer time looks like. A lot of times it's a list of, here's the things of how God should fix this world. This is what you need to do. This person's this, and this is what they need, and this is what they need. And it's almost, Sarah and I share a shopping list. So when we walk through the house or see something, we can just add it. And then if we're ever at the store, we can open up the shopping list on our phone, and sure enough, whammo, we're low in milk. A lot of times we present, now we're to give our supplications to the Lord, but I'm going to ask you tonight, how much of your prayer time is spent just thanking Him? If the percentages are right, is it about 10%? See, that even seems a little high. Psalm 145. Thank the Lord because He's good. Psalm 145 tonight. Verse Psalm 145 and verse 4, one generation shall praise thy works to another. That's what we're supposed to do. We're to praise thy works to another, God's works, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. Hey, when God does amazing things around us, or when God gives us those little handfuls of purpose, we shouldn't keep them to ourselves. We should thank him and let others know about his glory. That's what that says. One generation shall praise thy works to another. Hey, usually Wednesday night, we have a large contingency of both young people, little people, and older people. The teens are in club or in class. How often does the younger generation get pulled off aside and say, hey, Isaiah, let me tell you about how good God is in my life? How many times have those words passed through his ears? How many times has Opal been pulled aside from the other generation to hear of the mighty things and God's majesty and his glorious, wondrous works? We get on our kids for not writing thank yous. The previous generation, that was a thing. Man, my mom would have us sitting at that table writing out thank yous. I couldn't even remember what I got. And that she's like, well, you better put something down to make it sound nice and real. All right, sounds good. We're crying writing thank yous at the kitchen table. It didn't seem right, but I don't know. That was a big thing in the previous generation. Let me ask you, previous generation, how many times has this generation heard your voice glorify God and thank God? Because that's what that verse says. One generation shall praise thy works to another. It is important for this next generation to hear of God's goodness and wondrous works and glorious honor of his majesty. It's important. Thank the Lord because of his goodness. God's been good in our past. Psalm 103. How many of you were forced to write thank yous? Anybody? Gary? Yeah? Sure. Man. Psalm 103 in verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Can I ask you, has the Lord been good to you in the past? Yes. He says, don't forget about those things. If you asked me what I had for dinner yesterday, it would take me a moment to recollect those things. How about if I asked you, how good has God been to you a year ago? Oh man, let me think. What was a year ago? Oh, 2020 was a bit rough. Have you forgotten any of his benefits? Have you forgotten the past? Have you forgotten his goodness of old? The Bible says in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Do you remember where he found you? Yeah, man, today maybe it was a rough day for you. Now, quite honestly, that's life sometimes. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes the boss is just sideways, and you just got to deal with it. And sometimes there's situations at work, and we're living in tough times. I get it. But do you remember where the Lord found you? Do you remember what it was like to be lost? Without hope, without peace, without joy, having no understanding of what real, genuine, unconditional love is? Remember that? Remember how God made himself known to you and how this word seems so real and so fresh to you? You thank him for those things? The Bible says in verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquity and healeth all thy diseases. I've never had leprosy, but I had leprosy. I had sin. Forgive us, Lord, for not thanking you enough. Psalm 95. He's been good to us in our past. Psalm 95 in verse 1. It says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. And make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So often we use that phrase tongue-in-cheek almost to describe bad singers, right? I mean, making a joyful noise. Yeah, but what about the come before his presence with thanksgiving? For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Oh, we got something to thank the Lord over. He is the rock of our salvation. If all he did was save us, we ought to thank him every single day for that alone. But I don't know about you, but he's done a lot more for me than just save me. Go back to Psalm 103, probably a page away. Psalm 103, how about not just our past, but how about right now? In verse 1, it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. That's where I live. I live in the mercy and the grace of God every single day. Every day, I've got way more than I deserve, and I don't have anything of what I should deserve. That's where I live. And I can't come up with a way to thank him. Colossians chapter number 2. A large amount of our prayer time, young people, listen, get a hold of this young. A large amount of our prayer time ought to be just thanking God for who he is and what he regularly does in our life. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, it says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Not only did he save you, but he took you out of this pit and he gave you a new life. At the moment of salvation, do you understand that the Lord never has left you alone? And he's helped you grow. And he's helped. Look at, as ye have been taught. Do you know that the Holy Spirit of God, since day one of accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, has been the Spirit of truth in revealing that book to your heart regularly? But not only that, but he's also put people in your pathway to help you along the way. And I'm thankful for those people that took time out of their life to teach me about the goodness and the grace of God. I was thinking back. In my office, I have some binders, and those binders represent classes that I have taken studying the Bible. I see Mr. Parrott's feet hanging out in there as he watches. I've listened to that man teach the Bible for immeasurable amount of hours. I am rooted and built up in Christ because of people like him. I'm thankful that people came by and told me about Jesus. I'm thankful that people have lived a life that encourages me to live for God and have taught me the scriptures. Think about the people that have invested in you. Think about the people that you're investing in. Who's getting a dose of Jesus from you? Who's hearing the truths of the scriptures come from your mouth? Well, my kids, we do that. A lot of the lessons I learned were from other people in the body of Christ. I'm thankful for our Sunday school teachers. I'm thankful for those junior church workers and preachers. And right now, Mr. Jay Kobachewski is teaching our teens. And there's some people that have been around here that have really taught some, and not just even in lessons, just living a life. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. We are a blessed people. I feel like regularly I am sitting at Thanksgiving dinner. I love Thanksgiving dinner. Isaiah, do you like Thanksgiving dinner? Yes. Do you like turkey? Yes. Mashed potatoes? Yes. Do you like stuffing?
No.
Yeah. Stuffing's one of those like polarizing things. Like people aren't like, well, stuffing's okay. I absolutely love stovetop stuffing. I like the fake stuff. I love it all. I love cranberry sauce. I love pumpkin pie. I love sitting around the table with loved ones, friends, family. Do you understand? That's abounding therein with thanksgiving. Do you understand that could be your day every single day? Say, I'd be 600 pounds. No. Spiritually speaking, just think about all that is at your table. We are rich beyond words. And if we think for a second that we are a victim, somehow missing out on something, you've lost sight of thanksgiving. You've lost sight of the importance of the prayer of thanksgiving. You've stopped. You did not return. You were healed. I guarantee you, God has been good to you. But you didn't return to acknowledge. Not only has He been good to us in our past, not only is He good to us right now, but there's some things to come yet too. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse 28 says this. Wherefore we received a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. There is something waiting for us on the other side. I can be thankful for the promise of heaven. I don't deserve that. That's yet to come. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2. Just a couple more verses. 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 and verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Hey, you may feel like you're getting beat up a little bit spiritually. Do you understand? In the end, you win. Hey, that's something to be thankful for. Now, thanks be unto God. Can you just thank Him for picking you on His team? Almost like a rec league. Hey, we're on the winning side. Now thanks be unto God, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, probably a page back, verse 57. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I understand you may feel like you're in the battle, but do you know He wins the war? We got something to be thankful for. Number one, the character of God, the things that He's done in the past, the feast of a table that we sit at each and every day, experiencing God's goodness and God's grace and God's mercy and God's love in our life all the time. And yet there's some things yet to come. Ephesians chapter number 5, and we'll end with this. Ephesians chapter 5. Tonight our prayer time is going to focus in on just being thankful. Because that is God's will. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always. Look at Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God for the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All things. The difficult things in our life are the things that bring us closest to the Lord. That's just the truth. The hardest moments of your life, if you look back, were the times that you ran or God drew you the quickest to Him. Why? Because you needed Him. So oftentimes we look at the difficulties in life and go, God can't be anywhere near this. Oh no, God is not only near that, but you ought to thank Him for it because He's drawing you closer to Him. What about the good times? Hey, praise Him for the good times. Thank Him for the good times. Let it be known that God is good. Let it be known, not just because of the stuff you have in your life. That's not what we're talking about. God's goodness is not measured in the model car that you have or the year of the house that you own or the size lot that you have or your 401k package. That is not the measure of God's goodness. Because that's nothing compared to God's goodness. If that's what you want to measure your life by, you're going to miss out. Giving thanks always for all things. So tonight, let's take a few moments and not be guilty of those nine. That failed to return to the Lord. Hey, I'm guilty. When I read that passage again, I thought, yep, I do not thank Him nearly as much as I should. For a few moments, could we do this? Does anybody with an uplifted hand just want to publicly thank the Lord for something in your life? Stephen.